Those are your prayers this morning. I'd like to share with you something that the Lord has been dealing with me about. For the times that we're living in, I'd like to talk to you about fences, boundaries, and to compare the importance of the boundaries that I set in my own life, in my heart. I'd like to compare it to the boundaries, the fences that I build on my property. Today, if you raise cattle, it's pretty easy to build a fence around your whole property. You've got barbed wire and T-posts that you can fence off a large area. Do you know, I was reading, barbed wire was invented about 1860. And you could read some of the old books of the pioneer days. Had no barbed wire, no way to fence it off then. A lot of times there was just a little corral at the house. And in the mornings, the cows would be turned loose, the animals would be turned loose to go get something to eat. And that evening, the children or somebody would go out and find them and bring them back in again. I was thinking about David. When they came to anoint one of those brothers to be the king, did all of them that was at the house, and it wasn't one of them. And Samuel said, "You must have another one." And he said, "Yes, I do. He's out taking care of the sheep." Was it just because he needs something to do, so I just sent him out there to walk around with them? No, that's what they had to do back then, to protect something that was valuable, to be able to move them about and bring them back safely again. They had to spend time with them. Thought about when the angels came down to announce Jesus' birth. It says there were shepherds abiding with the flocks by night. Was it just because they said, I cannot stand sleeping in a house. I want to be out in the wide open. No, they were there to protect the things that were valuable to them. Each of us today are setting boundaries in our life, restraints, fences. In my heart, making choices of, I won't go this far. I got a couple little examples I'd like to share with you. A couple weeks ago, Cheryl and I were going to Oklahoma City on a Sunday afternoon, and it was a nice day. And maybe 6 or 8 motorcycles with young guys on them started passing us. And they got in front of us, and everything seemed to be okay. But then one of them pulled over into the passing lane. And I thought, okay, he must be going to pass everybody else up. But he started slowing down a little bit, to where cars behind him having to start putting on their brake because he's slowing down. And I thought, now this is a little bit strange. And then at 65 miles an hour, he reared his motorcycle up on the interstate and rode it for a long distance. Instantly, I built a boundary in my life. I would never do that. And I look at it and say, why would anybody do that? Is there a scientific method to, if you turn your gas to this point on a motorcycle, it only goes halfway instead of all the way and throws you off the back? It comes only from experiment. I tried it at just around my yard, and it does this. You know what a risk that is at 65? What does it take? How much does it take to go halfway and not all the way? And I looked at that, and we, each of us, build boundaries in our life just on things like that that we see. I would never do that. Some young people might could have been riding with me and said, oh, I got to try that sometime. Building fences, boundaries, protections in our life. Another one I want to share with you. Last year, on the YouTube, a man with a GoPro camera on his head put out the announcement, I'm going to string a tightrope between 2 office buildings, about 300 feet up in the air. I'm going to walk it at night. People have been doing that for years, walking a tightrope. And after a while, it just gets to be just old stuff. So you've got to do something a little bit different to be able to get attention. So he told him, he said, the things that I will be doing different than everybody else has ever done, I will use no protection. If I fall, I fall. Well, that's a little scary. And then he said, and on top of that, this cable will be at an incline. I will be walking uphill from one building to the other. And so he starts out, and he wears some kind of a soft slipper. And his foot, as you see it go down on the cable, it kind of folds over the cable just a little bit to get him some grip, because he's got to walk uphill on the cable. And so he does it one step at a time, and it's at night with the searchlights on him and the crowd below cheering. And one step at a time, he walks it all the way to the other side and steps off on the other side. And I thought, wow, that was something. And then he said, I'm not through, folks. He said, I'm walking it again, blindfolded. Said, put the blindfold on me. I'll have no protection. I'll walk it uphill again. And you see them stepping him off the side of the building. At my building, I have work at a building that's 21 stories. I can't even walk up to the edge of that building and look over without being scared. And this guy, he steps off the building blindfolded. And you think about what he's got to be able to do. It's one thing to be seeing your foot, the next foot, go forward and place it. It's another thing that you balance on this one foot until this one finds it and gets steady enough to move the next one. And he made it. You know, while he was doing that and I was watching, I was setting boundaries. I would never do something like that. I would not do it. And you know, we have things even more minor than that that people will do around us, and we're making decisions. We're building fences in our life. There is the Guinness Book of Records is full of people that went a little bit farther to do things. I remember one of them had said this man, and they ended up, because people cannot set boundaries in their life, they ended up having to put restrictions of what you can do to get into the Guinness Book of Records. Because one of the things that they did was, this man ground up his bicycle and ate it. And he just took it through some grinder and ground it so fine, the whole thing. So fine, and he was the only one that had ever been in there that had eaten one. And I look at these things that they're putting in their lives, and I build boundaries. But you know what? Most of my boundaries are from fear. I wouldn't do that because I'm afraid. But I want to tell you something this morning. There was a time when Jesus was tempted, and he went a step farther than just building a boundary because I look at this thing and say, I'm scared, or that does not make sense. He built a boundary that will last for eternity. I'd like to take a look at it. It's in Matthew 4. The first verse says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And it goes on down. One of the temptations that he had was in the sixth verse of the fourth chapter of Matthew. It says, fifth verse, then the devil taketh him into a holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So Satan comes to him, and Satan even has scripture to justify Jesus being able to do that. What did Jesus use to build a boundary in his life, a fence in his life? He came back with scripture. He said, Jesus saith to him in the seventh verse, it's written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There needs to be boundaries, fences that I set in my life, more than just by fear or other reasons, because those sometime could change. I need to have boundaries that are based on the Word of God that I make my decisions for. Jesus didn't say, there's no way I would jump off that pinnacle. I'm afraid of heights, like I would do. No, he had the Word of God. And you know what? That same scripture could have been applied to these instances that I've told you. No, the one that he gave was, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know what? I could use that same scripture for the guy that walked off the building blindfolded, for the guy that reared his motorcycle up and rode down the interstate. Here's Bible for why I need to build fences in my life in some of these areas. There's a saying that has been out for a long time. It says, let your conscience be your guide. Is that safe? It depends on what builds your conscience. What you have been taken in that establishes your boundaries, the fences that you build. So overall, letting your conscience be your guide is not a safe thing. Well, I feel okay about it, so I'm going to do it. Is it safe for me to build my boundaries, to build my fences off the poles that are taken today? When I was a child, I never heard of poles being taken. What's the reason for a pole being taken anyhow? It's to influence you, should you be of a differing opinion. I thought about the things that are coming up in our world today. Gay marriage, and polls are taken. And then they will refer back to a poll that was taken a few years ago where there were not so many people for it. And today there are many more people for it. What's the purpose for that? To let me know, Dan, you need to change your boundaries. You need to adjust your fences. You're in the minority today. But you know what? Whenever I base my beliefs, my fences, my boundaries on the Word of God, nothing matters about any of that. I would like to take a look at a verse in Romans 3:3. Because this one doesn't really say much about poles and how it should affect my beliefs. It says here in 3:3 of Romans, what if some did not believe? And there is a lot of unbelief in America and in our world today. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's where I build my fences. Just because there's others that don't believe and unbelief in America is growing all the time, should it adjust the boundaries that I have in my life, the fences that I build? Many people build their fences off of what would people say if they saw me do it? I believe many more people would steal if they knew of a certainty I would never be caught if I did it. That's what some people use as their boundaries. I won't do this because I may get caught. Joseph built some boundaries in his life. He built a fence in his life that protected him during the time of temptation. Was his boundary built on Dad would not be pleased if he found out about this? No. When he was in the temptation with Potiphar's wife and he fled, he had a fence built. He had a boundary built in his life. And it went back to the Word of God. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When I build my fences and my boundaries in my life, using God as the factor, it'll stick with me from then on. I thought about when I lived at home when I was a boy. Mom and Dad built my fences. They built the boundaries that I would be able to live by. They were kind of the old-fashioned type. They said, while you live at home, you will do what we say. And so they gave me the list. You can do this, but you can't do this. I look back now and I see the purpose of that. Their hope was, as young people, your parents' hope is, that by the time you come to the place that now you can build your own fences, you can build your own boundaries. Mom and Dad's hope was that their God would then be my God. And the kind of choices that they used to build boundaries would be also those choices that I used to build boundaries. I'm thankful that they did it. But you know what? It wouldn't be enough for me today to be able to say the choices that I make was because of what Mom and Dad told me to do. I'm going to need something deeper than that, and young people, you will too. Because there will be temptations that come to you, choices that you're going to have to make. Thought of the three Hebrew children, they're a long ways away from anybody that knows them or would ever know if they bowed or if they did not bow. But they had built fences in their life. They had built boundaries in their life. Back when they built a relationship with God that carried them through anything that should come their way. That's why they were able to look at the fiery furnace and the king saying, I'll give you one more chance. And they let him know, you're wasting your time. We've already made up our mind. God is able to deliver us. I was thinking about Eve. God built a boundary in her life. Told them, said, of all the trees, you can eat freely. eat the fruit of any of these trees, but there's just one tree. Don't eat it. Don't touch it, lest you die. And I have often wondered how much time passed from the day she received that commandment into her life. And it was inside enough that when Satan came to her, she was able to recite it right back to Satan, exactly like the Lord said it. So it wasn't like she didn't understand the boundary that the Lord was wanting her to put in her life. She was able to tell it right back to Satan. How much time passed before Satan came with his influences and readjusted her boundaries, her fences? I'd like to look at a verse in Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. That protection that he should have had, and I'll read this, and so many times I just think about it. I'm driving down a country road, and I see a house, I see a farm, I see a vineyard that has not been taken care of. But if we look at this today, it's a life. It can be a life in choices that were made. Fences that were not kept up, and now they're in disrepair. And anything can come in to destroy what used to be valuable. It was all grown over with thorns, nettles covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I walked by it and got nothing from it? No. This one said, then I saw and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. To the young people here today, I want to tell you, look around a little bit at lives and the boundaries that have been set for those lives. You would be able to save yourself a lot of heartache out in the future if you would be able to receive instruction from the mistakes that others make around you. When I bought the land that we have here in Guthrie, I got a legal description with it, and it nails it down to the inches. Here is your property line. Why is that important? Because I want to tell you, somebody owns the inches on the other side of what they said is my property line. And across America and across the world, people's property, this is your boundary. God realized that with so many people in the world, there's going to have to be some boundaries set. If I live in this world all by myself, there wouldn't have to be much of a boundary. It's all mine. But it's not all mine. I share it with many others. So God, in His wisdom, on Mount Sinai, said, I'm going to give you 10 commandments. The same 10 that America says they're not valuable today. God saw that I'm dealing with the heart of a man and the boundaries that he's going to have to be able to live together. Out of those 10, and it's in Exodus 20, but out of those 10, there were 4 of them that pertained to our relationship with God. Those 4 were, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. 4 of them were for our dealings with God. 6 of them were boundaries or fences that God said are going to be very important if a society is going to be able to dwell together. Those 6 are, honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. I'd like to take a look at a verse in Psalms. Psalms 11 and 3. Little short verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Those boundaries that God himself said, this is going to be real important for a society to dwell together in peace. I was looking at some instances. Which of those six commandments that are about relationships between people, which of those would I like for my fellow man to observe when he's dealing with me? Every one of them. I thought of some instances in the Bible about King Ahab. In his dealing with Naboth, King Ahab had a desire, I want to buy Naboth's vineyard. And you know what? There are steps where there's nothing wrong with doing that. If you wanted to buy the land next to you, there's not a thing wrong with going to the neighbor and say, you know what, I've been looking at your property. I would love to be able to buy it. God said there's a place where you're going to need to build a fence, though. You need to observe these things. And you remember the first place that would have helped King Ahab is the one that says, thou shalt not covet. There's a place for me to desire to buy something, to have it. And there's a place for me to say, I've gone far enough now. I will not cross this boundary in my life. King Ahab crossed that line. I've got to have it. He went to Naboth and said, look, I'll tell you what, I'll give you money. I'll give you another piece of property that's worth more than that. I've got to have your land. And Naboth said, this has been an inheritance to me. I wouldn't sell it to you no matter what price you would give. And King Ahab went home and pouted. Got up in his bed and said, I'm not going to eat because I cannot have what I want. He's crossing boundaries. He's got fences that he's crossing, and trouble will come from that. Several of those Ten Commandments he crossed. Thou shalt not covet. Then they had false witnesses brought to accuse Naboth. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. The laws that God has for America today was in effect back in King Ahab's time. Laws that would have protected him, and he wouldn't have crossed the fences in his life. David with Bathsheba. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. David had an opportunity. There was a place where David walked out on his porch, saw what he saw, and could have turned around and gone back in, and no sin would have been committed. God gave the laws to keep from happening what happened in David's life. But he crossed those fences. Covetous came in. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Cross them one at a time. Today, over the past few years, America has been shocked time and again by the killings that are going on. Some of them, the one a few days ago with the cab driver, wasn't even anybody that he had an ought against, just random killings. And we're trying to figure it out. And we have figured it out. We've got to ban the assault rifle. If we will stop the assault rifle, we're going to stop this problem. Where's the problem? I remember back when the children were killed in that school shooting, and someone came up with this theory. They said, folks, I want to tell you, there is a red flag here that we need to take care of in America. So there are video games that children can play that depict exactly what this young man did. You can gain points by killing people. So we need to think about that, because children in play in games after a while can hardly tell reality from what's fiction. Did everybody say that is true? We really need to do that. There was an outrage. How do you dare to compare the two together? It's the gun that killed the children. It wasn't the video game. It was the gun. What it really was is, as a nation, we tore down the fences. We tore down the boundaries that were intended to protect us. I'd like to look at another verse in Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Folks, righteousness exalted America. Righteousness brought God's favor on America for many years. But this verse didn't stop there. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It doesn't matter if it's America that had God's favor on her for so long, or any other group of people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is still today a reproach to any people. There's another verse in Judges 2 and 10. It says this. It says, there arose another generation. They knew not the Lord, neither did they yet the works that he had done for Israel. Righteousness exalts a nation. You know, there were years ago when I was a child that in America there was a great respect for godly things. The person may not even be a Christian, but he had a respect for God. Our country had laws in effect. You could hardly buy gas on Sunday. The older ones in here probably will remember it. Stores were closed down. Now it's just Mardell's and the stores they own. Seemed like it's just a regular Sunday for all the other. What is that? It's an indicator. Righteousness exalts a nation. But when we forget God, when we start moving in another direction, it says, there arose another generation, they knew not the Lord. In our society today, there's another generation coming on that does not have a respect for authority, does not have a respect for God. And we move it on back just a few years to where in school, I remember when I was a child in school, prayer was often offered in school. And then came the time when it is to go. Blue laws is what they used to call it. Laws that were in effect that prohibited shopping on Sunday. Closed down the stores. We used to have prayer in schools, prayer in public events. And that's gone. That doesn't have a price tag that comes with it. It does. God still has the Ten Commandments. I remember in October when the law was given, the Ten Commandments that are posted on the lawn there of the Capitol building in Oklahoma City, they're to be removed by a certain day. They have to be gone. But you know what? They were gone. They're gone today. But I want to tell you, God's law doesn't change. And the prices that are paid for not obeying His law still comes into effect. But I want to tell you on the other side of it, we have protection as a Christian that has a desire. I want to live for the Lord. If I just know where to put the boundaries in my life, I'll set them there. I'd like to go to another verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 26 and 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Salvation was intended to be the thing that puts the boundaries in my life, that God's able to deal with me to put fences and boundaries. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. About a year ago, we were out in California for their camp meeting, and there's a nursing home right next to the campground there next to the chapel. And they have a little pen that is put up for chickens, different kinds of chickens, and the old people like to come out on good days and just sit around there and watch them. Well, we're coming back and forth walking by that every day to service. And one day, and I mean, there's not a blade of grass inside there. If they're going to get anything to eat, somebody's got to dump some feed in there for them. And just outside on the other side, they water the lawn, and it has high, tall, green grass. And those chickens are all the time looking outside the pen. Well, one day as I came by, somehow one of them had escaped. And I mean, he was happy he was out of there. You could see him going around. He was getting bugs when all the others wishing somebody just throw a little feed in there for him. And all through that day, he was just having himself a good time. And you think, you know what? Seemed like it'd only be good to turn the whole mess of them out, turn them all loose and let them enjoy this freedom that they could have. There was a reason they were in a pen. Because the next morning I got up early to go to prayer meeting early in the morning. And the chicken is still out in the yard, but he's a pile of feathers now. That fence that was intended to protect him, to keep him from the things on the outside that would harm him, the day before he was so happy to be loose. This morning, the other chickens are up looking for feed, and he's gone. You know what? In America today, young people in your lives today, look around a little bit. There have been young people that have chosen, I'm going to break loose. As soon as I can get out of the house, I'm going to do the things I want to do. It'll be just like that chicken yard. I've got my freedoms. Y'all are still fenced in with all these do's and don'ts in your life, kind of like the Ten Commandments telling you what you can and cannot do. And I am free. I want to tell you, Satan is out there. And if you'll just stop for a little bit and look around, you'll see all around us tragedies that happen in lives. When we travel go on a trip, there'll be places that we see a little sign that says there's a scenic turnout. There's a place here, if you want to see a good view, pull over here and take a look. And a lot of times it'll be you'll walk up to a bluff and you'll look out across the countryside. And I mean, it is a beautiful view too. But almost every time where they have the sign, this is the perfect place to look, they will also have what? A fence. Sometimes it may be just a board fence right there. This is as far as you need to go. Take a look from here, but don't go any farther. I saw a description of America just a few days ago, a little while back, on a picture. It had a young man coming up to a fence just like this. Someone standing beside it to warn him, but he's saying, I am tired of fences. I am not going to have these kind of restrictions. I'm jumping this fence. And the man that's standing there beside it said, wait, sir, don't do that. Let's talk. Wait, don't. But he goes over anyhow. And he said, as he's going over, you see what's on the other side. It was that cliff. He said, this isn't just a fence. It was a guardrail. It was intended to protect you. And on the fence, it had one of the slats that said God's commands, God's words. And so many people will say, don't have to do it. But there's cost. There's price tags for us. There's another one before we close that we're faced with today. I'd like to go take a look at it. Genesis 1 and 27. Back at the beginning of time, God in His wisdom did things a certain way. And in America and in the world today, we think it is folly. Genesis 1 and 27th verse. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Then in the second chapter, and in the 22nd verse, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made He a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I never thought the time would come when that would be in question. Because here God could have had just as much opportunity to say, he needs a helpmeet. I'm going to make him another man. He didn't do it. It was male and female created he them. A few years ago, the president and a lot of others signed into law what they call the Defense of Marriage Act. And at that time, I thought, this is rather foolish. Why would you ever need such a thing? It's just understood. The Defense of Marriage Act was just to define that a marriage is defined as one woman and one man. That's a marriage. You know, years passed by, maybe about 15 years passed by, and that same president that had put it into law, no longer president today, but he joined with others and said that needs to be repealed today. You know what, folks, as we live for the Lord, polls are not important to us. The Word of God is what's important. And the Word of God will stand no matter if the world should continue on 1,000 more years and it continues to decline. The Word of God is still the same. He created them male and female. And He gave the woman to the man For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The press is on today because there are laws in place that now accept gay marriage. Just last night, I was reading on a little Guthrie news thing. Someone was very upset. The Dominion House, that where some of the weddings here have been held, they refused a marriage between gays. And I thought, you know what, we're still in a time where a lot of people will say it's understandable. But you know what? There's a lot of people not saying it's understandable. There were a lot of people with hatred toward anybody that would judge another person. No matter how we look back at Sodom and Gomorrah and see when God judged a people that were living that kind of a lifestyle. And some of those comments were, they've got to let you marry there. You need to go sue them. This is the time that we're living in today. There is another verse, Isaiah 5 and 20. There were some woes pronounced. Five and 20, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This is the word of God, and it will stand no matter how much the polls show that it is different. There's still a woe to those that call evil good and good evil. I want to close with one more verse because we're still here. It says, if the foundations be removed, what are the righteous going to do? And it seems like the righteous are in the minority today. But I'd like for us to look at Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. We need to keep this in mind because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We haven't seen a repeat of Sodom and Gomorrah in these last few years. Things have continued on just like they were before this had ever come up. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. But this is our consolation in the 12th verse. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know it's going to be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Those that set boundaries in their life. Psalms 1 and 1 tells us of a man that set boundaries in his life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But he does have something that he does. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Searching out the law of the Lord and taking that law and building boundaries, building fences in his life. I won't cross these because I want to please the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's going to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. We're living in a dry time spiritually. A lot of these people that are for gay marriage, they're in church services this morning just like we are, claiming to be a Christian just like we do. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, it's going to be well with the righteous. We need to be faithful. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my pathway. It has been in the past, and by God's help, I want it to be in the future. I'd like for us to close with a song, number 196. Because what is our protection as this world grows more and more wicked? As the Ten Commandments are now removed from public places. That song says, number 196, how safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. What's his anchor? His anchor is the promise of God's written word to keep him by night and by day. That wicked one toucheth him not. Nothing has changed in America for the Christian. The one that will say, Lord, I want to search out your word. I want you to be able to tell me in my own life those things that if I continue to follow that way, maybe they're not even wrong today. But if I continue to follow in a direction, a year from now, I will be walking away from you and God through His Spirit. And that's why it is so important for us to have the Spirit of the Lord in our life to lead us. Remember, it says you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When my human reasoning would say this is the way to go, the Lord would be faithful to tell me, Dan, it looks like that would be the way to go today. But should you follow it, you follow that course for a period of time and you could be lost in the end. I want to make heaven my home. The Lord has a desire, said He's not willing that any would perish. He's got His commandments for us. I need to search them out. I desire your prayers.